Well, that got me when I saw it, and it might have gotten you too. I don't know if you could hear the audio on that, but she says, I really missed him 100%. I didn't know if he would come, and he came. It's moving, isn't it, to see that? And I teared up. And why do we tear up about something like this? What's so beautiful about it? What makes us, what moves us with a message like this? We know that's the way it's supposed to be, right? Dads are supposed to be with their kids. And when you're separated from someone you love, that's not right. And we want to be with our loved ones. That's why death is such a horrible thing. We can't be with those we love. But, you know, in separations in this life, too, when we're separated from those we love, it's not right. Especially children need to be with their parents. And when you watch this, you say, yes, yes, this father's embracing his child. That's the way it was meant to be. That's what's supposed to happen, right? She missed him so much. Now, one of the reasons, now there's a lot of these on YouTube. I chose this one for a reason. And the reason I chose this one is the child is coping supposedly just fine on the surface at the beginning, right? She's jumping over the little hurdles. She's there on field day. She's high-fiving her teacher. She's high-fiving her mom and the guy who was announcing her. And you don't see the tears at first because she's learned to cope, right? And she's getting along as best she can. But when they announce her father is there, the deepest longing of her heart emerges, right? And she bursts into tears because that's what she really wants. That's more important than field day or jumping the hurdles or being a star that day. She wants reunion with her dad. And I would say that the reason that moves us so much is because deep within us, we have a longing to be reunited with our Creator. And we know deep inside, very often in our more thoughtful moments, that something may be missing if we don't have that connection with God. Because we were created for that kind of reunion with God. But many of us have grown numb to that longing. You know, we learn how to cope in life. We live each day, we survive, we go on, but that deep longing is there. But after a while, just living our lives, we grow numb to that deep sense of the presence of an absence, that something is missing, that there's an emptiness. Well, it's a little bit like, you know, after you starve yourself for a while, you lose your appetite for food, even though you need food to survive. We have that longing in us, just as Emma, when she sees her father again, her tears well up. She's reminded what she truly wants and truly desires. And so what we hear her say at the end, I thought he'd never come, but then he did. And sometimes we think God is absent from us. Sometimes we feel that way, like he's not there. This is what Libby's talking about at the women's retreat, that, you know, God is always there for us, even if we don't feel like it. But sometimes we feel estranged, and this is not a perfect illustration because in our Christian message, it's us who have moved. In this story, the father went away, but in our Christian message, we understand that it's our sin that separates us from God. But that's why the cross happened, because of that alienation, that separation, and God wanting this to happen instead. But as I said, there may be times in our lives when we say, God will never come. I feel distant from God. I don't feel that closeness. I don't feel that embrace. And you know, there was about 300 to 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament when God was literally silent and nobody heard from God. There was a feeling of absence from God, and then Jesus came right after that. Unexpectedly, in a kind of disguise, born as a child of peasant parents, he came and surprised us all, and the greatest reunion, the greatest embrace ever forged in history, in the history of the world, was that reunion between us and our Creator, made possible by the power of the cross. This is a powerful cross because it forges the embrace of God with humanity. Our longing to be reunited with our Heavenly Father is in us. And we may not know it, we may not see it, but it's there. But what you have to know is God's longing for us is even more intense than our longing for Him. Okay? That's why the cross happened. All right? On that day, when Jesus spoke His last words from the cross, the first of these last words that's on your cards is, "It is finished." John's gospel is the only one that records the words, "It is finished." And this statement is just actually one word in Aramaic in the original text. It's finished. One word. Completed, he cries out. Ever do that when you're writing a paper for a class and you finish the last footnote or the last entry in the bibliography? You throw up your hands and go, "Finished!" It's a cry of triumph, right? Of victory. It's done. Yay. Completed. Or what about the taxes? You know, you might declare with a loud voice in a little while, "Done! I'm through! Yay! Accomplished! What I set out to do! I finished that last, filled out that last square, signed that last line." It's victory, it's relief. It means that you finished what you set out to do. You had something to do and you finished it. It's been done. So we need to ask, when Jesus said it is finished, what did he mean? What was actually accomplished on the cross? Well, you saw it right there in a way. Because what was accomplished on the cross is one of the most important doctrines of the Christian faith. It's called the doctrine of the atonement. Atonement. More happened on the cross than I can explain here in my 20-minute slot of time. And by the way, the library has a lot of good stuff written on it. So you can go to the library and read more. But simply, for our purposes this morning, if you look at the word atonement, you pull it apart, what does it say? At one ment. At one ment. That's the reunion that the cross made possible. We were supposed to experience this great reunion with our Creator and not have that big barrier of darkness and sin keeping us apart. Jesus came to fulfill the deepest longing of every human heart to be embraced and reunited with God. And often being reunited with the one who loves us does bring us to tears. And I believe that our separation from God is the deepest sorrow we hold within us, the greatest wound that we carry. But as I said, we become calloused to that longing and don't even know it's there sometimes. And when that longing of God gets reawakened by the Holy Spirit in us, when the Holy Spirit touches us and reminds us who we belong to, when that happens, people fall on their knees right there, and very often they weep. It's been happening for generations. They weep with tears of joy and praise. "Oh, yes, finally I'm free. Thank you." I think I shared with you this story, but it's so good, I'm going to say it again, about a pastor who was working with a real cynic. It was a young guy who'd seen the rough edges of life, and the pastor was kind of at his wit's end, and he brought this kid into the sanctuary, told him, look there, what do you see? And the kid said, "I see a cross, but so what? Jesus Christ died for me, and I don't care whether he died for me or not. I don't give a blankety blank blank." "Say that again," said the pastor, "but be sure to look at the cross while you're saying that." "Okay," he said, the young guy said, "okay, Jesus Christ died for me. I don't care. I don't give a blankety blank." "Say it again," said the pastor. "Look at the cross and say it again." So, young kid got up there. This time there was a pause, but he said it again. But by the fifth time he said it, he couldn't get the words out. The Holy Spirit suddenly came upon him. And he stood there, and he looked at the cross, and all he could get out was, "Jesus Christ died for me." And he started to cry. See, it's in us. We know we need it. We know we need that reunion with our Creator. Somewhere deep inside, we know we've been separated from the one who loves us, the one who calls us to himself. So there's power in this cross to unite us to the one we've longed for all of our lives and never perhaps known. There's power in the cross to give us the embrace of a God who put that longing in us to begin with. There's power in this cross to communicate to us forgiveness and freedom and intimacy with our Creator. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant that he had, by his death, bridged the gap, becoming sin for us so that we could participate in a wonderful reunion with God. I love what Adam Hamilton writes about the meaning of the cross. I put it up here on the screen. You can follow along with me as I read. He said, "The cross is a divine drama in which God, through Jesus, is revealing the darkness of the human soul and the relentless grace and love of God for the human race. It is a sculpture." That's kind of cool, huh? "It's a sculpture that, when seen from one angle, is so horrible and repulsive you can scarcely look at it. But when viewed from another angle, is so beautiful you cannot help falling to your knees in utter amazement. It is a masterpiece in which the artist has painted at one and the same time a self-portrait revealing his character, God's character, and at the same time a portrait of you, your need for mercy and his willingness to offer it to you. It is a love story that moves you to tears and begs to be read again and again." Moves you to tears. Well, second, the very, very last thing Jesus said from the cross that day is this marvelous statement. He says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Just one, "your." "Into your hands I commit my spirit." This is very poignant because this was a prayer that Jewish parents taught their young children. Okay? So maybe you were taught a prayer when you were young. Maybe it was something like, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Ever hear that one? "I pray the Lord my soul to keep." All right? This was a prayer that Jewish moms taught their young children. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Let's just say that together. "Into my hands I commit my spirit." It's a good prayer to memorize. Lots of times when people are going through a hard time, I'll tell them, just pray this prayer. Just surrender whatever it is that's concerning you to God. And if you know this prayer, it'll just come up for you at important times. "Into your hands I commit my spirit." So when it was all over, when it was finished, when the terrible ordeal of the cross was done, after feeling forsaken by God and cast off by him, Jesus cries, then, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He feels God is distant, but at the end, see, he comes back and he asks for the embrace of his Father. "Father, into your hands I commit my life, my spirit." He had finished what he'd completed to do, and now the intimacy was with God was back again, and it was possible now not only for us to be reunited with our Creator, but it was time for Jesus to be reunited with his Father. Now, the other thing I want you to know is this statement, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," is a psalm. Now, if you were here with my God, why have you forsaken me?" that's also Psalm 22. This is Psalm 31. So let's read it together, and it's also a prophetic psalm about what was happening to Jesus at the time. Let's read it in unison. "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love." Isn't that beautiful? So he's hanging there. He's about to die. He's suffering, and he comes back to God and trusts him, even in the moment of his worst suffering. So I want to sum up for you what we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks. Jesus did so much from the cross as he was being tortured and as he was dying. He forgave his enemies. "Father, forgive them." He offered mercy to a thief. "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He prayed for his mother. "Mother, behold your son." He came to the place where he felt abandoned by God. he expressed his physical thirst, I thirst, declared the shout of triumph, it is finished, because scripture says he shouted it with a loud voice. And at the very end, he offers this beautiful prayer of absolute trust in his Father. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. That was a lot to accomplish on the cross, wasn't it? A lot more than a lot of us accomplish in a whole lifetime. But then there's one more thing. We're not quite done yet. It's mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel. Something happened when Jesus said that last word, into your hands I commit my spirit. Does anybody know what happened at that moment? Something happened in the temple. Yes. The veil, it says, of the temple was rent in twain or ripped in two. Now, when you think of a veil, you think of a bridal veil, at least I do. You know, one of those flimsy little pieces of material that you can easily rip. But actually, the temple, the holies of holies in the temple was covered by a very thick piece of material. And there you can see it. I have this thing here. Let me see if I can actually use this. There it goes. That's the Holy of Holies, okay? And right there was this thick embroidered curtain that it took many people to weave together. It was the thickness of a man's hand. And it was impossible to rip that. In fact, once a year, the high priest would go back here and would sprinkle the blood of a bull and a goat on the mercy seat. The mercy seat was a seat that was on top of the Ark of the Covenant. All right, two angels on either side, and they had their wings going over like this, and there was a seat right there that was considered the throne of God. And so the high priest would go back there and sprinkle blood on that seat to atone for the sins of the people. But this was so thick here that when he would go back there, when the high priest would go back there once a year, it took like 30 other priests to lift up that veil. That's how heavy it was. It was a huge, heavy tapestry-like thing. It was blue and purple and gold with angels woven into it. But it was very thick and heavy. When Jesus died on the cross, though, in case anybody wondered what had actually been accomplished, the veil, that thick tapestry curtain, was ripped in half. Ripped in half. Because God said, no more distance between us now. I've sacrificed myself for your sins. Come near. It's time for a great reunion. It's time for you to come into my embrace. We've been apart for too long. Your sins are forgiven in my name. Come close. I don't want you standing far away any longer. I love you. I've wanted to be with you for so long. Come home. Come to me. You're my beloved child. I want an intimate, personal relationship with you. That curtain was rent, was ripped into. Now the problem for me is sometimes I put up my own curtains. After Jesus agonizingly died so I could have a relationship with my Creator, I put up my own curtains of fear, of guilt, of unworthiness. One of my biggest struggles, one of my biggest curtains I put between myself and God is I get too busy. And I don't have time to sit in God's presence and receive His embrace, spend time in Scripture and prayer. Another thing I struggle with, sometimes I put up the curtain between myself and God, is sometimes I get critical or judgmental of others. And it's so ironic because I've been forgiven so much. Why would I judge another? I've been forgiven in Christ's name. And I don't know what your curtain is, but that sin, that curtain that separates us from God, Jesus died to rip that in two. So I'd just like us all to go into prayer now. And if there is anything between you and God that's keeping you far from Him, whatever is distancing you from Him today, just ask the Lord to remove that, to rip it in two, to let His presence be known to you so that that reunion with Him can happen. God says today, no more distance. I want you close to me. No more standing far off. No more fear that I won't come to you because I'm right here now. I have come. I'm here for you today because of the power of the cross. Come near to me. Come near to me. Just ask for forgiveness right now for anything that's keeping you far from him. We can ask Jesus to rip our veils so that we might move forward towards him and not keep him away. Lord, quicken us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you might reawaken our hearts to our first longing deep inside us to be reunited with you. And may we all fall into your embrace because of the power of the cross. Amen. What a victory that is. And what a joy it is to know that we can be reunited with our Creator. So I pray that you go out here with a sense of God's embrace. Remember to bring a friend next Sunday to participate in this wonderful faith and relationship to God that we share as Christians. And know that the God of grace goes with you out those doors and is in your life every day. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.